This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake preview WrestleMania. You know, that thing happening on Sunday. So Jake, as we talk, you and I are days away. After doing a show together for almost 5 years at this point, you and I are days away from actually seeing each other face to face for the first time. I have to ask you, are you going to punch me when you first see me because of all the dumb questions I've asked you?
The thought crossed my mind, but no, I think I'll be able to hold back. I'm not a violent person by nature, so.
That's good. That's good. I really don't like being punched. It's my third least favorite thing.
Oh man, well, that'll be a special countdown episode for you to recount things you hate the most.
Things I hate the most: getting punched, mostly in the face. I'm actually pretty chill with body blows, but face punches, not my thing. But seriously, WrestleMania is Sunday. Last night on Raw, last night as we record this, 2 nights ago as people listen to this, on Raw, we saw the final hype for WrestleMania. And I have a simple question for you. What are you most excited about going into WrestleMania?
You know, I'm definitely excited about just seeing what the hell comes out of the Shane McMahon and Undertaker match. Because I think from a spectacle standpoint, they probably have a lot planned. And so I'm really looking forward to that. Just from a technical match perspective, believe it or not, I'm most looking forward to seeing what Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch and Charlotte can put together. Just because I think it's one of those matches that a lot of people are probably sleeping on and forgetting how good those three can be together. And I think it could end up being one of those show-stealing matches.
I think it has that potential as well. Look at how this is very in the weeds, but WrestleMania, for the most part, is structured of very scripted matches, more so than normal WWE pay-per-views, and definitely more so than normal WWE TV shows. And those women were put on the map by scripting matches to a T with their NXT matches. And I'm not someone who says it's scripted, so it's worse. I actually think that if scripting a match and rehearsing it leads to brilliant results the way it did with the four-way that those three women and Bayley participated in, the way it has with Sasha and Charlotte, the way it did with Sasha and Bayley, especially at the NXT Brooklyn show, script away. Script those matches as much as you can. Rehearse them, get them perfect, and then put them on in front of people, because, heck, that's what gets results. That's what produces really great matches. And WrestleMania, it's constructed of very rehearsed matches. You can't tell me Brock and Dean Ambrose aren't going to be doing choreography out there. You can't tell me Triple H and Roman Reigns aren't, and you sure as hell cannot tell me Shane and Undertaker aren't going to be choreographed within an inch of their lives. That's just what it is, and I think for the women, they've definitely had experience in that style, and they've definitely shown that they can succeed there. I'm with you on Sasha, Bayley, and Charlotte producing some, or Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte, my bad, producing something really, really good at WrestleMania, and I actually even think they'll be given the time to do so.
I hope so. I think that's the big hurdle, is that, you know, you never can be quite sure, because there's, you know, two women's matches on the card, and they seem to be shoehorning more and more matches onto this show.
At least four are in the pre-show.
Oh, really? Is it that many?
Yeah. It's the Battle Royal, the 10-woman's match, the Kalisto and Ryback extravaganza, and the Dudleys versus the Usos are all on the pre-show.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, I knew, I heard that there was at least two, but I didn't hear the update to four. So that's good news, actually.
That's very good news.
Yeah. So that's great to hear, because that means, you know, there's going to be at least the matches that I were hoping would get a lot of time, which were the women's triple threat and AJ and Chris Jericho, I think might actually see 20 plus minutes now, which would be fantastic for both of those, because I think AJ is one of those guys that just gets better and better the longer he's out there. And I think Jericho could probably keep up with him for that long at least. But
I hope so.
From the women's standpoint, I think it's, you know, I don't understand the quibbles with scripting. I mean, it seems like it comes from, you know, it's an old school mentality about, you know, wrestling skill level. Like the real skilled wrestlers could call a match in the ring versus having it scripted. But from a fan standpoint, I don't really know that if scripting is done well enough that anybody would be able to tell the difference. And I don't think it eliminates opportunities for improvisation if somebody feels the need. And so I really don't get why there's a stigma against scripting, unless it's just, you know, wrestlers who feel like it's something of a lesser art form if you go out there with an idea of what you're going to do.
I think it's very much that. A lot of wrestlers, this is so off the topic of the show, because we are known for staying on topic, obviously. A lot of wrestlers tend to believe what we do is improvisation, what we do is call it in the ring, and they have this idea that you know, you can talk about it before and maybe come up with your finish, but to go out with a full structure, a full outline, a full idea of what you're doing is to almost take the art and the fun out of it. But I look at some great wrestlers who, even Undertaker, who his greatest matches were those scripted WrestleMania epics with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Well, Shawn Michaels had amazing timing and was one of the best of all time, and you can't tell me that scripting those matches didn't give him the freedom to improvise, to stay down an extra second if he needed to really get the crowd into it. And he obviously did that because those WrestleMania 25 and 26 matches are some of the best of all time. So when I look at the idea of a match being scripted, I just say, yeah, it's going to be cool. It has a chance of being really good, and I try and judge it unless I've somehow seen their rehearsal and know move for move what's going to happen, which has never happened. I try and judge it the same way I would any other match, because how the heck do I know what's in their script and what's improvised unless someone slips me a copy, which, again, has never happened. I'm open to it, though.
Yeah, I don't really care. I mean, even if they got a post-it note that had every spot on it 15 minutes before showtime and they did their best to memorize it, I don't care. I mean, just entertain me. I think there's a lot of overthinking going on about, you know, calling it in the ring. Like, yes, I guess, you know, from a craftsman standpoint or an artisan standpoint, you might say, well, you know, if you can't call a match from start to finish and earn, you know, the crowd's respect, then you know, maybe there's something to be said about an elite club of guys that can do that or women that can do that. But
yeah,
if you can't, I mean, what's the harm in doing the best you can with the skill level you're currently at? Like, just go out there and have the best match you can. I don't care if you write it down ahead of time.
Yeah. And John Cena, of course, always calls it in the ring. And by calls it in the ring, I mean yells spots as loud as he can in the ring.
Yeah, matches between him and Chris Jericho were like two guys like announcing the match to the crowd while it was happening.
That, which is actually kind of great. I mean, you know, the Raw announcers at that time, who I think were Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, could just lay out and let it happen. So they have that. For me, the most exciting thing about this WrestleMania is undoubtedly Shane McMahon. And I know that's crazy. I know it's stupid. Like, I am fully aware that this shouldn't be a thing. But I look at the rest of this card, and aside from the women's match, I feel almost listless about it. Like, okay, I've seen AJ versus Jericho. I'm sure it'll be good, but I've seen it three times now. New Day and League of Nations, whatever, unless they're flying unicorns. Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar, cool. There's going to be a bunch of weapons, but Brock is still going to win. And Triple H and Roman Reigns is interesting, but it doesn't necessarily excite me. Shane McMahon and The Undertaker legitimately excites me. I don't know what it'll be. I expect a major shakeup in WWE coming out of it. And I look at it as a kind of game-changing match, and really the match that saved this WrestleMania, which is still insane to me that Shane McMahon literally to me is saving WrestleMania, but that's where we're at life-wise at this point. I think Shane McMahon and The Undertaker, obviously I think the most hyped match coming into the show, have a chance to actually put on the best match on this show if you ignore logic completely.
You know, I think the reason that it needed to be that is because Triple H and Roman Reigns feud has been so bad. And I don't mean that, you know, Triple H has been particularly bad or Roman Reigns has been particularly bad. I think they've been just given just crap for material. Like, they're stubbornly holding on to the idea that Roman Reigns is going to get cheered somewhere, and Triple H has been, you know, essentially trying to assume the role of, you know, heel, but still occasionally acts like a babyface when the crowd responds to him. I really don't understand where they were going, and I think the confusion from a booking standpoint was extremely clear last night in that final segment. Like, who are you selling that to at the end there? Like, nobody cared about yet another brawl between those two.
Yeah, that was a really, really strange brawl. I don't understand it at all. I don't know why it happened, and I'm still not really able to figure it out. Like, cool, you guys fought, and the Dudleys, who just a few minutes ago were helping beat up Roman Reigns backstage, are now holding Triple H back from Roman Reigns. Why? And also holding Triple H in position for a big dive from Roman. Like, nothing about that closing segment made sense. And I felt last night, the more the Triple H and Roman segments happened, as they had three distinct segments on this show, I felt like each one made me want to see their match less, which I don't think is the idea going into WrestleMania. All right, folks, listen to me for just a second here. There is legitimately not a better time of year to be a ProWrestling.net member than right now. Members are going to be listening to all of our audio content this week, including myself and Jason Powell on .NET Weekly, where first-run news is often broken before it's out anywhere else. They'll also be listening to audio reviews of a ton of shows this week, including NXT TakeOver Dallas, WrestleMania itself, and whatever Jake Barnett and I bother to attend while we're in Dallas for WrestleMania. This is on top of ad-free access to the site and so much more. Plus, to celebrate WrestleMania week, we're running a sale. Just enter the code WM32A as a promo code to get a month of .NET membership for just $2. Want to sign up for longer? Head over to ProWrestling.net and check out the discounts for that as well. Once again, the code is WM32A. Now, back to the show.
Well, last week on SmackDown, which I happen to cover for the site and have to watch every week, so you're welcome for that.
It's gotten slightly better.
It has. It's still very much an afterthought. But the Roman Reigns promo that happened on that show, if you listen to all the live reports, he got booed out of the building. And you watch SmackDown, and they've sanitized pretty much all of that out. You could tell that Roman was rattled by it. He had very little to say, and it was – I don't know if they cut his promo short or if they edited it short on SmackDown, but it was just not a good experience for Roman. You could tell he was frustrated. The fans clearly don't want what they're getting from him. I think there's just a general tone deafness about the way that they're going about this feud that I can't imagine them – sticking with post WrestleMania. Like, I think if anything, like, Roman Reigns should attack The Rock on Sunday and have a huge heel turn and have that be like the catalyst for something different for him, or anything really that would separate him from what they've been doing with him for the past year, because he's been just spinning his wheels.
Yeah, it's very clear that he's spinning his wheels. It's very clear that there's not much happening there, and it's legitimately depressing. Roman Reigns is kind of an example of what not to do when you're trying to get a guy over. And I think the worst thing they've done is make him look like the most obvious guy, but also not make him look strong in so many situations where it's like, okay, when you do it, it looks like a parody of itself, but then you don't do it so many times in these feuds with Bray Wyatt and with Big Show and with all these guys that it's frustrating to people watching. I think WWE has just done irreparable damage to Roman Reigns at this point. It's been two straight WrestleMania seasons of trying to make him the guy, and neither one has succeeded. It's a little bit crazy that we're going into WrestleMania, and I still look at Triple H versus Roman, and I don't think, oh yeah, Roman wins and gets showered with confetti and all that. I go, how are they going to get out of it this year?
Yeah, that's, and I don't think they are. I think they put Shane and The Undertaker together so that they can have some earth-shaking news coming out of the show, and yet still have Roman Reigns as their champion. Like, I think that's going to be, you know, at least the back door in terms of getting away with having what they wanted. And it seems like they're committed to Roman being the guy, whether anybody likes it or not, and still giving fans that, you know, okay, I have to tune into Raw because Shane McMahon somehow, with the help of whoever, beat The Undertaker, and he's in control of Raw. And I think having that storyline pay off will be enough to have people, you know, they'll grumble about Reigns winning or whatever, but they'll still tune in, and WWE can work on repairing the damage they've done to Reigns right away.
So now I have to ask you, what are you least looking forward to at WrestleMania? And we can be quicker about this one because it's negative and we don't want to be those guys.
League of Nations and New Day sticks out to me as just extremely poor booking. I think New Day is great. Clearly, they've made a connection with fans. They want to hear them clown on people. You know, we talked about this last week. I think the League of Nations has made it not even fun to clown on them. They're so boring. Like, it's it's not even funny. It's just kind of sad. And so the whole feud, I think, you know, their League of Nations is trying to show that they have a sense of humor. You follow their Twitter posts and, you know, they're joking. And
Rusev is very funny.
I think Rusev is legitimately funny. But, you know, it's difficult to watch on TV because it's like guys that you're used to seeing in a position where you want to take them seriously. But now, you know, they're in a comedy feud and they have no momentum, and as characters, they're all kind of stale, and you know, especially Wade Barrett, who's on his way out, you know, it's clear that they're not going to put any additional effort into him. So it just feels like, you know, it's a waste of time. And so that match is what I'm looking forward to least, just because I think they saddled a very good act in New Day with a very bad act in League of Nations. And unfortunately, the bad one is dragging the good one down.
Yeah. And that's never what you really like to see. I like it when good acts drag bad acts up, but that's really hard to do with current WWE booking and what they've got going on. That's not the thing I'm least looking forward to, because I still think there's like a 20% chance New Day is going to ride in on flying unicorns, which will redeem everything. And by redeem everything, I mean this entire WrestleMania. Much like Rusev in a tank last year. Yeah.
That was amazing, by the way. I still go back beautiful. And watch that occasionally just to have a good laugh, because it was just so preposterously fun. Like, it's such a you know, a Soviet tyrant rolling in, you know, type of James Bond moment. But it was fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's almost like it was everything Triple H has wanted every WrestleMania entrance he has ever done to be, but never quite gotten. Yeah.
What will he do this year?
He's going to do something crazy. You know Triple H has to do something. The bummer is the perfect entrance this year is actually the entrance he did 2 years ago at WrestleMania 30.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
That was epic. Like, the full thing, the Stephanie introduction, and it worked perfectly. And they kind of just went back to that story in a lot of ways with Roman this year, only with Triple H as champion. So I think he'll do something big and grand and gaudy. It's got to be Gotti. Hopefully,
he's the boss. It's got to be Gotti.
Yeah, hopefully he will not sledgehammer through glass again like at WrestleMania 25. That was a weird one.
Live, by the way.
No, that's the weirdest thing about it. Like, he just stood there live.
Yeah, he stood there and walked through an already broken glass frame. Very weird.
He must have felt so good about himself in that moment.
Imagine what the people on TV are seeing right now.
Yeah. He has a little monitor of the pay-per-view broadcast just so he can be like, okay, it's fine. I hammered through glass. I know I did this. I think I'm least looking forward to the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. That's not to say that it's not going to be good. It's not to say that I'm not going to get really excited about seeing Sami Zayn at WrestleMania, or, you know, seeing these seven guys have this match. The match might be really fun. They might draw me in. It might be a really, really good match. I'm not excited about the story they're telling. I'm not excited about the way they presented the characters in this match. And I'm not really excited about anyone in this match, aside from Kevin Owens, who I think is doing a very good job. And looking at these seven guys, I don't see a ton of upward mobility coming out of this match for them, which really bums me out about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But just looking at this, I think they could go into a feud and elevate each other. Yes. If they don't get the opportunity to do that after this match, then I'm not really sure what the point of this match is. And I worry about that. And I know these guys are going to take risks. I know they're going to have big giant matches, or, you know, big giant spots. And I worry a little about safety of these guys as well. So I would say the ladder match is actually the thing on the show I'm least looking forward to, even though on Sunday night I might say, yeah, it was really good. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not terribly enthused about that match either. I felt extremely bad for those guys on Monday night.
That was rough.
Going out there and just dying 1,000 deaths in front of that crowd who apparently had no interest in watching any match at that point in the show. Like, I'm not sure if it was them in particular, but I think 3-hour Raws are exceptionally long, especially with all the tapings that were there beforehand.
Yeah, especially when you're taping SmackDown Superstars and Main Event before the show. Oof. That's,
yeah, I mean, you're killing people. Like, yeah, they just can't pay attention at that point. So I just felt bad for anybody that that had to try to get a reaction at that point in the brawl. Like, you know, even Triple H and Roman Reigns in the final segment, like, people usually get up for brawls, and it just, they couldn't be bothered. Like, it wasn't like a mega reaction like you'd hope for. So, I mean, it was a tough show for the crew in the Intercontinental ladder match at WrestleMania. I think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn could be a fantastic feud. I was hoping that they would take a longer approach to the whole Zayn and Owens thing, and it wouldn't, like, really piss me off if they got separated for a few months and then they kind of actually developed a character for Sammy so he could go back and have a feud for SummerSlam. Like, you could sell me on that as being a valid idea. I think having it happen right after WrestleMania makes it somewhat forgettable, in the sense that people tend to kind of relax and take a break for those couple of months, and viewership drops and all that. So I think, you know, that should be held off for maybe SummerSlam. But I think the ladder match, despite having a poor build and adding three wrestlers who previously nobody had any reason to take seriously just to fill out the match, you know, it'll be really fun to watch. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing a big ladder match like that live, because I haven't seen one in person before.
Oh, that is actually pretty fun. It has its moments. Yeah. So that is kind of our WrestleMania preview and what we're excited about. And yeah, thank you everybody for listening. I'm sure you will hear my voice and Jake's voice far too many times in the next week, including another show that we're doing, but also listening to us on .NET Live and all of that. Thank you everyone for listening, and have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!